Today on the Callahan podcast, well, that escalated quickly. Minneapolis is officially on fire. The bad news is people are getting stabbed, shot. They're burning AutoZone and Wendy's and Target. The good news, they're all wearing masks. They're being careful. And many of them are social distancing, which is good. We'll talk about that today with our crazy liberal friend, Alex Reamer. And also, the FBI and the Department of Justice have been ordered by the president to get to Minneapolis and get this investigation on and get it on quickly. And you're not going to believe why the president gave them the order. We'll tell you on today's Callahan podcast, brought to you as usual by our friends at DCU. Digital Federal Credit Union. Whether you're buying your first home, your dream home, or looking to refinance the home you love, DCU may have the mortgage program to fit your needs and, more importantly, your budget. Their mortgage experts will walk you through the application process and help remove the hurdles that can make it a difficult and confusing process. They'll bring you right up to the front steps of home ownership. Learn more about rates and programs or to apply today at dcu.org/mortgage. DCU is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 466914, insured by NCUA, membership required. All right, Callahan, let's do this.
This is the Jerry Callahan Podcast.
You know, I have to give Sean Hannity credit here, Reamer and Callahan. I have to give him credit because I was watching last night and I didn't know that putting your knee on someone's neck, holding it there for 8 minutes, I didn't realize that was bad for you. I didn't realize you could hurt someone doing that. But he explained to me, because he's been training in martial arts for 7 straight years, he explained that that is a bad thing, putting your knee on someone's neck, and that could really hurt a guy. And now I know. I just thought, you know, it was coincidence that the officer, Derek Chauvin, had his knee on George Floyd's neck. George Floyd ended up dead. Who knew there was a connection there?
Just a place to rest the knee, maybe, you know? I mean, I once actually took karate as a kid, okay? And I was terrible. Yeah, really awful.
But that makes you an expert to talk about this now, which is
good. Well, I would know. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I made yellow belt.
I was watching last night, obviously watching Fox News and watching the riot footage. I said this yesterday. I believe we're gonna the rioting will replace sports for us. We don't have much sports. Although, thank God, please God, bring baseball back. Let's all play. Let's all pray that baseball comes back, because I miss it so much. I want to smell the grass. I want to see the boys back in the old lyric.
I mean, I'll say it. The Bruins are getting friggin' screwed with the new NHL format.
It's outrageous.
Talk about riots, Jerry. That's something worth rioting about. I mean, I know that there's a lot of political stuff going on, but I mean, we're not really here to do that. So if you want to riot, I'll riot over that.
Yes. We're going to get to the seeding of the NHL season. Are they calling it the NHL tournament? Are they calling it season? What are they calling it? I don't know, but we'll get to it.
Whatever happens, this champion will have an asterisk next to its name.
Asterisk. Yeah. I need you to explain it to me, because Kevin DuPont in the Globe blocked me, so I can't read his coverage of the Bruins, which, you know, that's his life. I'll need you guys to fill me in. I know the Bruins are the top seed, thank God, but they got a tough road ahead of them.
Right.
But I'm watching footage of the rioting in Minneapolis. And if you're just waking up and just tuning in, the death toll has doubled. A rioter was shot by a pawn shop owner who was protecting his business. We don't know much else about that. Shot and killed. I think he died on the sidewalk outside the store. But I tune in and the footage is amazing. If you haven't seen it yet, they burned down everything. Minneapolis is burning. AutoZone, Target, Wendy's. I mean, one store after another, probably most of them owned by minorities, owned by local people, owned by hardworking people. And because a rogue cop killed George Floyd, they burned down Wendy's. I'll need my good liberal friend Reamer to explain the connection between one bad cop, out of control cop, killing a forgery suspect and the need to burn down a local fast food restaurant. But first, I tune in and Sean Hannity in the first 7 minutes, I mean, the first 12 minutes told me seven times that he does martial arts and he's been doing it for seven straight years. And because of that, he knows how dangerous it is to put your knee on someone's neck. And he said it over. My wife was not even paying attention. She was in the, you know, walking around and she said, how many times is he going to tell us that he does martial arts? I guess it was his big chance, but here's my favorite part. My favorite part. He kept bragging about how he does martial arts and he trains and he has a sensei. He has his own personal sensei, and his sensei volunteers to help train cops. He does it for free to train cops so they'll know, you know, putting a knee on someone's neck might hurt them. By the way, I think he's wrong because the carotid artery is in the front, right? The cop's knee was on the back of George Floyd's neck.
Hold on. But, and you knew all that without training with your sensei, which part of the neck is which?
Yeah, I saw. I've seen a few Steven Seagal movies.
Well, you know that I haven't. So that was news to me. I didn't know.
I've seen Chuck Norris in action. So I knew. I've seen Karate Kid 1 and 2. So I knew there was danger around the neck, but I didn't know until, you know, 9:01 that Hannity was an expert in the martial arts, trained. Liam Neeson in Taken. He has a special set of skills.
Well, I mean, he's certainly a hard-hitting interviewer. I saw that interview with Bobby Kraft the other night. Boy, oh boy. I mean, is he still recovered from that beating that Hannity put on him?
We played it yesterday, and it's Kraft doesn't even acknowledge that Brady's gone. Maybe he's in denial. He talks about the greatest trio in NFL history.
He might not know. You know, I mean, although Brady did say goodbye to him, but I don't know.
Yes, he did. And I think he knows, but he didn't. It was one of those upbeat, as you know, one of those happy interviews. We just wanted
to celebrate. Great basement for Bob Kraft, huh? That's a nice place.
I think that, no, what's that with the basement? That was the massage parlor. But he looked very happy. Kraft is loving life, as we all know. But I can't help but think that we're going to hear people in the next few days. Maybe today, maybe right here, right now, just pinhead liberals will somehow rationalize the rioting, the looting, the carnage that we saw last night. And we will continue to see even after they arrest, and they will arrest Derek Chauvin today. I believe they will arrest him. I don't know what the defense is going to be. I'd love to hear it. There is no division here is the crazy thing, Reamer. There is no dissent. Everybody wants to see Derek Chauvin, the cop, the outlier, the rogue cop, the killer cop. Everybody wants to see him in handcuffs. I mean, they want to see him in an orange jumpsuit. They want to see him take the stand. They want to see him in court. They want to hear what his lawyer has to say. We all want that, right? So we're not disagreeing on anything.
Even Hannity last night, noticed, was against the police in this case.
Yes, he was. It was a little odd when he had his whole karate robe on and he was, you know, hitting the heavy bag while he was saying it. But
You know, your man's got to train.
This was the highlight of Hannity. If you weren't paying attention, other than talking about his martial arts, he said Trump ordered the FBI and the Department of Justice to accelerate the investigation on his urging. He says he urged the president to do this.
Well, that's very nice.
The president. I mean, I know some talk show hosts got egos, big ones, and they get a little full of themselves in these moments. Did you know that Tucker Carlson went to Mar-a-Lago in January?
Yeah.
To tell Trump to take the virus seriously. That's pretty wild. I mean, and maybe it helped, but I believe that. I don't think Tucker ever said that. Someone else reported it, and someone else reported that, you know, that Trump listened. These are influential people. Let's be honest.
I mean, it's the only people Trump listens to. There's no doubt in my mind that Hannity probably called him and said, hey, mister, do something about this. It'll be good for the PR. Trump loves PR. Oh, this is great. It's amazing. So, yeah, I don't
know. We interviewed Sexton last Thursday. Turns out he's meeting with the president the day before. Now, at least Buck Sexton has a little bit of a background in things that might pertain to Trump. He's not just a media figure. So that makes a little bit more sense to reach out to a guy like him and talk to him, I would think.
And you know what? When you do that, if you're Trump, you win them over. You know, you win them over. You'll see Buck Sexton. Whatever Trump does next, he'll be behind it 100%. But let's hear from Hannity. And again, I was mocking him on Twitter and laughing about all his bragging about his martial arts. It slipped right by me. I was listening this morning, and he said, at my urging, the president put the FBI on the case.
At my request, the president said, the FBI and Department of Justice are already well into investigation to this very sad, very tragic death in Minnesota of George Floyd.
at my urging.
At my request, the president put the FBI on the case. Now, I think it's at the point where even if they would normally take a few days to bring down an indictment, they're going to speed it up, and it's going to happen today. It has to. And I hate to say they're going to do it because of the rioting, but they're going to do it because of the rioting. I mean, it's out of control already. There are fires. If you're online, you see it. Everyone, here's the thing, difference in rioting today and the Rodney King days or, you know, the Chicago convention in 1968 is everything is videotaped. Right. I'm watching a video right now of a guy taking a power tool, a drill, and trying to pry loose the cash registers in Target.
Okay, but
so
I
this
mean-
isn't someone just throwing a rock because they're mad. This is an orchestrated effort to rob Target. I mean, isn't that Target's home city, Minnesota, right? Minneapolis. That's what Target is.
We must protect Target at all costs. That's what I've always
said. We should.
Yes.
I mean, think of this.
Small business.
Everyone was asking where the cops were when people went into Target and Wendy's and AutoZone. I found out, you know where they were, Reamer? Down the street, a barbershop opened against the rules. Yep. Guy was cutting hair down the street. So, boom, they sent the Minneapolis PD in after guy was like a 9-year
public safety rioting or, you know, a stray barbershop.
I can't help but think the cops today, or at least this month, the cops today are moving in on businesses that open like driving ranges in East Long Meadow or barbershops in Detroit. They're actually sending cops in. But last night, if you were watching, the cops just sat back and watched. Now,
what do you
know
mean they threw tear gas last night and the night before?
They didn't move in. They threw tear gas from a rooftop.
What do you want them to lined up on the
roof. They were all lined up on the roof, and then they were behind a barricade. They look at the video in Target and in AutoZone. There are no cops. They just let them do it. Let them blow off steam and burn down people's businesses. Okay, hold on. I want to hear from my favorite liberal friend.
Right.
This is the token liberal. This is the hardest working commie I know. My friend Alex Reamer. Go ahead. Let's hear you rationalize the rioting.
I mean, okay. I don't think anybody wants stores to be looted, businesses to be burned and destroyed. I don't think anybody wants that. But I mean, these protesters were largely black, right? And they are.
Well, you couldn't tell in some cases because their faces were totally covered.
I'm going to venture a guess.
I think there was a mixture of angry black people and Antifa thugs.
Okay. Well, they were whatever. In there too. There's a lot to be angry about. And when now we have two videos in a matter of 2-3 weeks of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia and what happened as well in Minneapolis with Floyd, just being black, going outside, I mean, there's a chance you may die. I mean, what was Ahmaud Arbery doing? What was Trayvon Martin doing years ago? What was George Floyd doing with police? That's the government. That is state-sponsored domestic terrorism, taxpayer-funded domestic terrorism. So
terrorism.
If we have an epidemic in this country of police officers killing black people, seemingly innocent, unarmed black people. That is domestic terrorism, Jerry. I'm sorry.
It is not. Terrorism is violence with a political or religious end.
You could say that racism fuels a lot of this violence.
Well, first of all, I mean, I don't understand, and nobody does, how a guy suspected of forgery ends up, even forget dead, even ends up face down in the street handcuffed.
Because he's black.
We don't see. Okay, so what? Tell me. I mean, there are thousands of black suspects arrested every day who aren't thrown to the ground.
How do we know? Handcuffed. We don't know. We only know
because
about
everyone's videotaping everything because it would be new.
I don't think that's true. I don't think everybody's videotaping every interaction between police and people of color. I don't think that at all. And if we want every interaction videotaped, why don't we just have every police officer wear a video camera, which has been
proposed. The video is out there. Derek Chauvin's video. And so the other three cops who all got fired, their video's out there. That's coming too. And I don't know what the defense is going to be, but I have a feeling they're going to say we missed the part where he resisted arrest. It's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, you see them talking to him when he's sitting against the wall in that video across the street, and he's handcuffed against the wall. Again, I know he's big and he's looks like a tough guy. I know he's an athlete. He looked like he could kick their asses if he weren't handcuffed. So they handcuffed him. I understand. And he's sitting against the wall and they're talking to him, taking notes. Then they move him across the street. And at some point he ends up face down with four cops, subduing him, one with the knee on the neck. So, I mean, I assume he resisted. What other explanation is there? They're not roughing him up.
But that's not even a good explanation, is resisting arrest.
I know. No question, Alex. I agree. It's not a good explanation. As I heard Bernie Kerik, former New York police chief, say, once you're handcuffed behind your back, you're not that dangerous. You could be friggin' Bruce Lee. You could be Sean Hannity if you're handcuffed behind your back. I mean, you think he does train with a sensei. But the defense, even put it this way, Alex, even if it's not true, the defense has to be that he resisted in that little moment between videos we've seen. And again, we might see more video, which completely debunks the theory that he was resisting. But even if we see him resisting, how much resisting can you do when you're handcuffed and you have four cops bringing you down or ready to restrain you? It doesn't seem like at any point, like with Rodney King. Rodney King was scary. Because he was driving 100 miles an hour with police chasing him. He was big and strong, and he was on, I believe, something. He was on something, angel dust or something. He was scary. The cops overreacted, clearly, if you see the video. But that's why they were acquitted, because he was scary, and the jury put themselves in the cop. But tell me, at what point do you see this where George Floyd is scary or is threatening? We don't see it.
Not at all. And to talk about, though, what the defense will be, if you read the original police report, which came out before the cell phone video was released Monday night, their police report says he was ordered to step out of his car. After he got out, he physically resisted officers. Officers were able to get the suspect into handcuffs and noted he appeared to be suffering medical distress.
And then
that distress? It's not mentioned why that the officer's knee was in his neck, but. You know, details.
You know, then we're going to agree on this because we see him taken out of the car. We see him handcuffed. Maybe they didn't expect that video to come out. I think the Washington Post got it from a local store owner. In that video, he's not resisting anything. Again, if their only defense is that he resisted, well, then he was resisting with handcuffs on behind and his hands behind his back. And you can't tell me that anybody, I don't care who it is, anybody is going to be able to resist with any real threat. Four cops, at least four cops, there may have been more, while his hands are handcuffed behind his back. And the most disturbing thing, the thing that just to me signs, you know, Derek Chauvin's, you know, death warrant. I mean, he's over. His life is over. He's going to prison. He's a murderous cop who's going to go to prison in Minnesota. He's going to have a real fun.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, let's remember, and you want to take it back to why is there so much rioting? And, well, Eric Garner, the police who killed him, not guilty. Freddie Gray, no, know, they didn't get convicted either.
Eric Garner did resist. He did
really?
Resist. And
no.
And the cop, and the thing that the cop did to him, put behind the, you know, they proved that that was the procedure. He was saying, I can't breathe. I don't think, you know, you may have a point in that Chauvin will say this was the procedure. This is what I was taught. But I heard, again, Carrick and experts, you know, these cops like Carrick and Dan Bongino, yeah, and, of course, Sean Hannity, say that that is not. I mean, Carrick said that's not procedure. That is not what is taught. And even if it is, at some point, not only is Floyd saying, I can't breathe, I'm dying here, but the people watching and filming. I mean, Chauvin, the cops should be convicted just for absolute idiocy, stupidity. People are videotaping him and telling him, you're killing the guy, and he doesn't care. He just keeps going.
Well, but I mean, the cop kept going with Eric Garner saying, I can't breathe. I mean, the thing is, Jerry, you act like that this is a one-off isolated incident, and I'm saying it isn't. This happens, I think, a lot more than we even know about, because I don't think every interaction is filmed. So you wonder, again, why is there so much rioting? How can you explain this? There's no defense, obviously, for destroying businesses, but, you know, but why are they so angry? This is why. George Floyd happens all the time. Ahmaud Arbery happens all the time.
It does not. And we know cops shoot more white people than black. I mean,
there are more white people. Way more white people. That's a terrible stat. There are way more white people in America than black people.
You can imagine, you know, white people saying cops are picking on white people. I mean, it's just
way more of us. So of course they'd shoot more white people.
They shoot people. You would say that are, you know, breaking the law, right? Generally, in their minds, they're breaking the law. And I don't think you can just say, oh, look, one happened. Arbery happened here. Floyd happened here. It's an epidemic.
Why were they not originally charged in that case? I mean,
because there was corruption there in that.
What about Trayvon Martin? I mean, we can do this all day. Freddie Gray in Baltimore. I mean, I know I'm mixing, you know, civilian.
I want you to get to Mike Brown, Big Mike Brown. Get to Big Mike Brown.
Sure, Mike Brown. Why not? Is that again?
Tried to kill a cop, Alex. You can't. No, he
did. Not trying to kill a cop.
Yes, he did. He tried to kill a cop. He tried to take a cop's gun. Barack Obama's own Department of Justice exonerated Eric Wilson. I think you need to read up, because Michael Brown was guilty. He was a bad guy who was trying to take a cop's gun and trashed the convenience store. We saw the video. He was out of control.
Death penalty for being out of control. So I should have been shot and killed
trying to kill the cop. When you're a big guy trying to kill a cop, you know what the cop should do? He should ask you nicely to relax. You know, take a chill pill.
No one's saying to be nice, but I'm just saying that killing the suspect should be the absolute last resort. And in none of these videos that have been released does the amount of resistance, if you will, rise to death penalty, as far as I'm concerned. Not even close.
Well, it did in the case of Michael Brown. And obviously, Derek Chauvin, the cop in Minneapolis, didn't think he was going to kill him. I mean, he wasn't like shooting him between the eyes. He had his knee, he had his weight on the guy's neck. He thought the guy was big and strong. His defense will be, that's the procedure I was taught. And if it's true, Alex, I got news for you. These riots we saw last night, small potatoes compared to the ones that will come if Derek Chauvin ever gets exonerated. Acquitted.
Well, there should be.
What do you mean good? You want black owned businesses to burn?
No, I just want people. We all need to stand up and say, this is, again, I'm right and you're wrong on this. This is domestic terrorism that we as taxpayers are funding, and I am outraged.
Are you supporting the riots you saw last night? Are you supporting
looting, burning, but I'm supporting anger. Yes, you should be angry, and we should do all we can. It's time for all of us to rise up.
But of course, of course you should be angry. That's stupid. Of course you should be angry, but should you actually go out there and burn buildings? Because that's what we saw last night. And here's what's going to happen in the next day or two. Is there's going to be liberals like you who lose their minds on Twitter, on TV, on cable news, and say, yeah, I support the rioters.
I don't tweet as much anymore, if you notice. I just take pictures of myself now.
Yes, and if you're watching on Twitter or watching on Facebook Live. Alex Remer is out in nature. You feel better because nature heals. The sun, he's in the sun. He's got his new quarantine haircut. He's feeling good. He's doing yoga.
Yeah, I am.
I think this has been good for you. You're ready. You're ready to get back out in the world.
No, look, I bought a new home. Look at all this. Look at all the trees I have behind me now. So it's just done well for me.
I thought you lived in the city like me. I didn't know you were out in the country.
I have a country house. WEI, they gave me quite a severance package. Let me tell you. Millions.
You're the one.
I'm the one. Yeah.
Here's what else you have to understand is this, what we saw last night, because the cops didn't move in, because no one got arrested or very few got arrested, it's going to happen again tonight. It's these people were quarantined for, there's so many elements, ingredients that make this thing combustible when you think about it. A, the cops aren't stopping them. They're just shooting tear gas from across the street. B, everybody's wearing a mask. I mean, you feel so much more liberated when you loot. I've done my share of looting, and when I have a mask on and no one can recognize me, even if they got cameras, I'm going crazy. I got a mask. And they've been shut down, locked down, quarantined. People are itching to get out, and what are they doing? They got nothing else to do.
They're looting.
Let's go grab a 72-inch TV at Target or Walmart. Until the cops stop them and start arresting people, which will get ugly because the cops will most likely be white and the looters will be black and people will say no justice, no peace. And this is for George Lloyd. But you tell me how this stops. How do they stop this? A, they have to arrest Chauvin. That has to happen today. And I'm not sure that's enough because he's not going to get convicted for like a year.
Well, they're not going to riot for a year. And if he gets arrested today, I think it'll quell some of the anger. But he has to get convicted, Jerry, because I'm sorry, none of these officers, and I know you think that Eric Garner somehow is justified. What do you think about Freddie Gray?
I'm just telling you why he got acquitted for the Eric Garner. I blame that on de Blasio.
Well, you want to blame de Blasio? No, that couldn't have. No, 14 was probably, let me look it up. May have been Bloomberg still.
I'll blame Bloomberg then. I blame the mayor because they cracked down on these loose cigarettes. They said they weren't getting the tax revenue. People were buying their cigarettes off the street one at a time, and the city wasn't getting any tax revenue. So they said, crack down on these people. And as soon as Eric Garner, resisted at all, this cop used the procedure he was taught, put his arms and his whatever, stick around his neck, and he killed Eric Garner. And when he went to trial, I believe, I mean, I can check, he said that was the procedure I was taught. The jury bought it.
To kill.
That's going to be the defense. Get ready, Reamer. I hope it doesn't work. I hope it doesn't work. But Chauvin, the cop who was fired, the cop, the 19-year veteran who had the knee on the neck of George Lloyd, is going to say, I learned this in the academy. When you have a big, dangerous suspect who is resisting, this is how you subdue him. But it is the thing that the reason I don't think he's going to work is there is so much video. There are so many witnesses. There's so much audio. You can literally hear him saying, I can't breathe. And you can literally hear him saying, you're going to kill me. And Chauvin didn't listen. It didn't deter him at all, which was bizarre. When you look at the video, I don't care what kind of bully or thug you are. You hear the guy saying, literally saying, you're killing me. I can't breathe. And that doesn't compel you to ease up. I mean, that strikes me as kind of, evil.
But you don't view this suspect there as a real person, which I think is the problem. And that's what people are so upset about.
That the cop is not a real. Oh, you mean the suspect?
He didn't view George Floyd as a real person. The police are.
I think, and it's similar to Eric Garner in that regard of Mike Brown, is they think because he's big and strong
and black,
they have to go overboard. I mean, they say this guy, obviously could kick my ass. Again, he's handcuffed. How's he going to kick your ass?
but Jerry, you say big and strong, but you have to include black. That's what it is. It's a race thing. Enough of this stuff has happened over our nation's history, the history of the world, where you say it's a race thing.
I don't think you have to include that. But
you come on.
I mean, we can go over the numbers again. It's a myth. You know what? I think we should include race. And I want to know why you are so racist that you never get upset about all the killings, all the violence in Chicago.
Oh, stop.
Okay, let me go over some numbers quickly.
Jerry, you can walk and chew gum at the same time. That is such a bad faith argument.
I never hear you complain about the violence in Chicago at all. Never.
Well, let's talk about hundreds of shows
with you, Alex. I've never heard you say we must do something to stop the violence in Chicago. Wow. Let me go over the numbers quickly off the top of my head.
Okay, right.
I believe over the weekend there were 73 shootings in Chicago. Mm-hmm. 50 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then on Monday, Memorial Day, like 23, including a 5-year-old child. 73 shootings in one weekend, and you get upset over one.
Let's talk about it. You never introduce it. You're the host here on the Jerry Callahan podcast.
You've never hesitated to change the subject on me before. You're good at that.
Well, let's talk about the actual reasons as to why there's all this violence, and let's try to fix it. So I'm worrying to have that conversation, but just to point to
what's your solution? You know what? They should have strict gun control laws because they don't already have those in Chicago.
Or also you try to maybe rise people out of poverty, lift them out of poverty in these impoverished and awful living conditions, which breeds a lot of this discontent, this anger, this violence.
Okay, do you know how much money has been spent on the war on poverty? Do you know how much money has been spent on social programs?
Really? During the coronavirus time? $1,200.
Trillions.
One check. Trillions. One check during the coronavirus time.
That's utter nonsense. But you don't see rioting because of the 5-year-old girl who got shot in Chicago over the weekend.
These are police officers.
Black on black, so it's no big deal. This is white on black.
This is racially motivated, racially charged. These police officers are government employees. We pay their salaries. George Floyd paid the salary of the police officer who killed him.
While they were burning Minneapolis, you know what happened in North Dakota last night?
What?
A cop was killed. A cop was shot in cold blood.
Why are you bringing that up? Okay. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, because it's a dangerous job and cops get killed all the time. And Alex Rima doesn't give a shit. That's not true at all.
When did I ever say that?
I mean, you would never even, if you were like on Twitter or reading the paper and there's a story about a cop getting shot by a domestic violence suspect, you wouldn't bat an eye. You wouldn't say that's awful. That's terrible. We need to do more to protect our law enforcement officers. You wouldn't care. You just like this because you can get a political, a divisive political issue out of this and say, this is us against them. You can divide. It's those racist white cops against us, the good people, the good guys. It's not going to work this time because this guy's going to get arrested, convicted. And you know what I'm going to do? And you know what Sean Hannity's going to do? We're going to applaud. We want these bad cops. As Sean never hesitates to say, I'm a big supporter of law enforcement. 99.9% are good. Do you agree?
The vast majority are good, but too many are not, as we see with these videos time and time again and have seen throughout history.
But here's what happens. They get arrested. They get indicted, arrested, convicted. Justice plays out. That's what happens. That's what has to happen.
I mean, there's so many of them.
Do you think a rioting like last night in Minnesota, you think that's, constructive in any way? Do you think that's...
No, but people are very angry. I mean, how about that person didn't a police officer enter a black person's home not too long ago and shot and killed them and it was like the wrong house or something? I mean,
Tom Brady. That was Tom Brady going to the coach's house, Byron Leftwich's house. Do you think like people, there's a lot to be angry about? Can you imagine being, someone whose parents or grandparents were killed by Andrew Cuomo in New York? They were in a nursing home. Cuomo decided to put a coronavirus patient in that nursing home and wipe the place out, just kill them.
Of course.
You'd be pretty angry. Yeah, I've seen it on Twitter. There's plenty of people who are angry about this. They're upset at what Cuomo has done. Are they rioting? I mean, why do you say, but these people, I mean, it's so patronizing to say because they're black and they're young and they're I don't know what, they got nothing else to do.
Okay, so I never said riot. No, I went. Okay, I didn't say any of that. I'm just saying.
You rationalized it by saying they're angry.
Because there's a history, a gruesome, brutal history of racism that continues on to this day. So that's why there's so much built up anger, perhaps, in the black community. Why wouldn't there be? If I were black, I would be so angry. I'd be so militant. I would be so just outraged. I mean, being born white is such an advantage. If you were born white, Jerry, you were born in the red zone of life. You are. And you only have to take it 20 yards to score. It's true. It's true. The structural advantages.
Do you believe when LeBron James says we can't leave our house without being hunted? Do you believe that? Does LeBron James can't leave his house without being hunted?
By the media. I mean, paparazzi's tough. But yes. I believe LeBron James when he says that. Yes.
Okay, what? Well, obviously, the cop is wrong. The cop, he might even be evil. I mean, I think he's been involved in situations in the past. But what else do you want authority? What else do you want the government to do? He's going to get arrested. It just happened. We just learned about it. It's today. He will be arrested. That's, you know, well after millions and millions of dollars in damage at Target and Wendy's and AutoZone. So that's all done. It doesn't, you know, the rioting didn't really affect it. I think Chauvin was going to be arrested, indicted, even if they didn't riot, you know, and they wouldn't have rioted if George Floyd were white or the cop were black, correct?
If George Floyd were white, if this happened, I don't think this would have happened if George Floyd were white. That's the point of this, Jerry. I don't think the police officer would have.
It happens. You know, black, we don't seen black cops, you know, involved in, you know, police brutality also.
It happens. Yeah. But when was the last video we saw where a white person was killed by a police officer like George Floyd was?
I will find you one. I can guarantee there are plenty, but
I don't think so. And you want to know what we can do to reverse it? How about we put back in what the Obama administration had, much more federal oversight of these troubled police departments?
I didn't know this was a troubled police department. I mean, what do you know about it other than this incident? Do you know, did you hear that Minneapolis was a hotbed of police brutality? No, you're just reacting with emotion. That's what you do. That's what all liberals do. I mean, I think if you were there, you'd be throwing rocks at cops too, just because it looks like fun, right?
Come on, be honest. I don't want to be hit though in the fire. I don't want to be hit in the.
You'd break in that yoga studio and steal a couple of blocks.
I would. I need a block. I don't have blocks. That's the one thing I need. But it's fine. I do it the real way, like a man.
Don't go to Lululemon. They're like $100. Go to Marshalls or TJ Maxx. They get plenty of blocks. But so in Minneapolis, we saw them rioting and burning and occasionally they were interviewed. Mike Tobin, I got a kick out of this. Mike Tobin's an interviewer, a reporter for Fox News. He's right in the middle of it. He got tear gassed in the middle of his report and had to, he was gagging and coughing. He had to check out and they had to go back to the studio. So then they go back after Sean Hannity bragged about his, you know, his black belt for like a half an hour. They go to Mike Tobin. He's literally interviewing masked, armed protesters, and he doesn't like it, identify himself as fuck. And they are saying, you know, that this cop, you know, cop should have been arrested by now. This is wrong. This is about all the usual complaints. It was fine. They did a decent job. Some were more articulate than others. One guy said he was in the military, and this is not the country he fought for. It was good stuff. But in the middle of this rioting, as a reporter, you know, taking some chances, taking a risk, going to report from on these people, which was great. So why do you have to go from that to burning a store? I mean, don't you lose?
Because Jerry, I don't have
burn a store.
I don't have their experience. I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like to spend my entire life as a person of color and be the subject of gruesome, brutal racism. I don't know. I don't know what it's like. I don't know how angry I would be.
Know that, Reamer.
Not really. I don't. I've been very fortunate. I've had a nice life. I do not know what it's like to be marginalized. No, yes, I don't.
At least on Twitter. At least on Twitter.
Well, that is true.
Media,
that is true.
You get those old TDTs, those Twitter death threats. They're not real threats, but they're Twitter threats, and you certainly get mocked and ridiculed on Twitter.
I do. I mean, very hurtful.
I'm not sure everybody. I mean, hell, you could see the riots. Half the people were white. They were Antifa thugs who just want to riot. But in L.A., so they're whatever that is, 1,000 miles away or 50, you know, 1,500 miles away in L.A., at the same time they're riding in Minnesota, in L.A., they're smashing cop cars. I don't know if you've seen this. And burning American flags. Now, this makes me sick. Burning American flags. In America, you know what's going to happen today? The cops are going to get arrested. Maybe all four cops are going to get arrested. They were fired immediately. We have procedures here. You know what's un-American? I will tell you what's un-American, Reamer. Rioting. Rioting is un-American.
It sounds like you're angry. I mean, this is classic. You're angrier now at the rioters than you are at the actual murder.
Okay, I wish, you know, we talked about this yesterday. That's nonsense. The murderer is going to go to prison. I don't know if he will.
Okay,
I think he's okay. I'll put it this way: the murderer should go to prison.
Well, there's a difference between will and should.
For the rest of his life. That's not good enough for you? Is that not good enough?
It is good enough for me, but I don't know if he will be convicted. History shows he probably won't.
I'll put him in some bad with some badass, you know, like black Muslim section of Oz. Okay, you know, good. We won't let him hang out with the white supremacists over here. We'll come with the and he'll live a life of hell. It'll be hell for the rest of his life. That's not good enough for you.
When did I say that wasn't good enough for me? But we'll see if it happens. I don't know.
I talked about this yesterday. I've been tweeting about it. You just said I was more angry at the rioting than the murder.
Today,
the big story, if you haven't seen it, the video is amazing. It looks like a war zone. They burned city blocks.
But blocks
are burning. Millions.
But that's an anecdote. You know, I'm talking about the systemic issue. An anecdote?
You know what's an anecdote, Alex? The guy who owned the pawn shop. That's an anecdote. No, someone broke in his pawn shop. I guarantee you, if he's not a minority, he's certainly working class guy who did nothing to anybody. He's just trying to make a living. He has a pawn shop in a bad neighborhood, and they break in and loot the place, and he shoots one of the looters. Do you think that's justified?
It's terrible. No, it's terrible. I mean, it's terrible. No one's condoning it. I'm not condoning it, but I'm saying I can understand why there's so much anger.
You know why the pawn shop owner shot a looter? Because the cops sat back on the rooftop across the street and did nothing. They should be doing their jobs. They should be busy arresting looters and leaving barbers alone.
I think there were a fair share of arrests in Minneapolis last night.
I don't know if you can get that. And Cullinane, have you read anything? Because I'm looking for it as we speak. Arrests.
I was trying to find arrests. I haven't seen any. I'm sure there's plenty of arrests made last night, but I didn't see too many. The sexy thing, clearly.
There weren't many. I mean, obviously, there's a strategy to it where they let them blow off steam, that kind of thing. Remember, Baltimore mayor said, just let them have a section of the city that they can burn down after Freddie Gray. They need to blow off steam. Let them destroy that neighborhood. And invariably, the neighborhood is a minority neighborhood. The businesses are minority owned. That's what we're going to find out today. They're owned by minorities. You know who works there? Minorities. Those people are out of luck now because their neighbors burned the frickin' store down. It is going to be funny watching and listening to just brainless liberals trying to defend this.
I mean, but here's the issue. Do we have a bigger issue in the grand scheme of this country with rioters burning down stores or police departments, police officers killing black people?
What do you mean? Do we have a bigger problem? We have a problem today with rioters and one cop who killed one black person.
No, yes, we have a problem with systemic racism in our police since the beginning of time that still goes strong today.
A myth. And I think you and others want to tie Kaepernick into this and say this is why Kaepernick kneeled down. And
people were
more upset with Kaepernick's kneeling than with Derek Chauvin's kneeling.
You seem to be.
Which is nonsense. You'd show me, and I don't know if you got your laptop, find me where Kaepernick was specific about why he knelt. Just tell me why.
How else would I be doing the show? Of course I have my laptop.
People just sign this, attach this to him and say, Kaepernick, you know, was upset about police brutality. I mean, when does he ever say that? When does he ever explain that? When does he ever personalize it and say, I'm here for... You know, Freddie Gray, and I'm here for...
He said it when he first started in training camp of 2016. Like
10 years ago. The guy, you know, if he had any balls, if he had any balls at all, and he doesn't, he'd be in Minneapolis right now. He'd be the face of this uprising. He would be in front of the cameras and explain, here's what we want. We want a federal investigation. Because that's what leaders do. If he's leading a movement, he doesn't do it from his apartment in Soho.
Who's leading a movement right now? First of all, he has to shelter in place, number one.
Everybody says that.
He'd have to quarantine in Minnesota for 14 days, though, before he could make a public appearance.
Scrap that rule. We're busy rioting. Okay. That's true. These rioters were not social distancing. I will give them credit. Most of them had their masks on. Unlike the president, they were wearing their masks. Have you been wearing your mask, Reamer?
Not when I'm outside alone, no. But I mean, I've been wearing it when I go into a store. Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Flagship Wealth. We're living in crazy economic times, job changes, job losses. You may have a 401k out there that's not being actively managed. Well, Flagship Wealth has a free report called Managing Your Money in Retirement. Dave, give our listeners some idea about what's inside the guide.
Jerry, in these crazy economic times, it's important to take control of your retirement. Now, is this booklet the end-all be-all for retirement planning? The answer is no, but it's a start. And I think one of the major pieces in this piece, if you will, is concerning your inventory. And a number of your listeners out there right now have left their 401ks, their 403bs at former employers and have no idea how they're invested, if they're in cash, if they're ultra aggressive, who the beneficiaries are. More importantly, can they get access to it that they could within an IRA account? So again, the bottom line is they get their hands on the book, take control of your retirement now. Now is not the market to let things go unguided.
Get the free report by going to flagshipwealth.com/retirement or click the link in our show notes. That's flagshipwealth.com/retirement to learn more and get a copy of the free guide, Manage Your Money in Retirement. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA/SIPC. Can you agree with me that Biden looked silly with that black mask and the black
shade? No, this is stupid.
He was with his wife. There was no one else around him. He was outside.
He was setting the example. That's what a leader is supposed to do. We are supposed to wear masks in public.
You know, the example was cower in fear for no good reason.
No.
Senselessly cower in fear. That's the example he set. Bad example.
No. The example he set was wear a mask. It's the smart thing to do right now. He's the leader. He's going to be the leader of the free world, Jerry. That's the message he should be sending.
You feel good about that?
What I feel good about. I don't even know. I'm still saying, and I'm glad that others, the New York Times has finally written about this. The election will be delayed, rigged, all this mail-in voting stuff. They are going to cheat like never before, and that's the issue.
You're right. That's the best hope you have, that you guys are cheat as usual. Right. I mean, that's the whole point of mail-in voting.
Are you kidding me?
The whole point of mail-in voting is for your side to cheat, yes. But you know what? Like 2 months ago, you had hope. Biden was, you know, the moderate, and Biden, that's over. He's a bumbling fool, and everyone knows it. Then it was Cuomo was going to take his place. Cuomo was going to take his place. That he could be the worst. He's the most villainous, sinister politician I've ever seen. What he has done is the most vile and duplicitous thing I've ever seen. He went from because of him, thousands of people died in New York, thousands of senior citizens. He went from blaming Trump for it, which didn't work because very few other states did what he did, and they got the same orders from Trump. Now he's blaming nursing homes. He's blaming nursing homes for following his orders. If this doesn't become the biggest political scandal in recent history, I will be very disappointed, because he has the blood of thousands of senior citizens on his hands, and all he does is pass the buck. That's your guy. Please tell me you've given up on Andrew Cuomo, killer Cuomo.
I never really liked Andrew Cuomo. I mean, I love that while he was delivering all of his amazing press conferences, he was also slashing the budget for Medicaid, which is how, if you're poor and you got coronavirus, is how you would be able to afford to, you know, recover. So I'm not a Cuomo fan at all. Never have been. I think he sucks.
And you know what? It is one of the great examples of media bias that works. Like his approval rating is like 70%, because the media keeps lying to everybody. And when you know the truth, you say the guy should be arrested. Forget about voted out of office.
I don't know about arrested, but I mean, certainly was incompetent.
He signed an order making nursing homes accept coronavirus patients. It led to the death of 5,000 seniors or more. If that's not worthy of being thrown out of office, what is? I mean, honest to God.
I mean,
a phone call to the Ukraine? I mean, what would you consider worthy of kicking a guy out of office?
grifting. You know, it's in Massachusetts it happened obviously at a smaller scale, but look at the Holyoke Soldiers Home. I mean, we found out, I know you've talked about it, top Baker administration officials knew about this at least a week before Baker says he knew about it and acted on it. So, you know, how come this isn't a huge story here in Massachusetts? It's a similar thing.
It should be, and it will be. I think we're going to find out something similar happened in other nursing homes. It happened in New Jersey. It happened in Michigan, where the result was a 20-year-old psycho beating up a 75-year-old patient in a nursing home, his roommate. That's on Governor Whitmer. That and she's number two on the list. Cuomo's number one. I'm going to drop Baker to number three on these absolutely incompetent fools who are running our states. But I think you're right. Massachusetts is all going to blow up on Baker and Karen Pulido. Pulido, when she's done partying, going to face the consequences too. I cannot.
Here's the
wait.
Thing though, with Karen Pulido, she's like actually a pretty hardcore conservative. Like her track record is. Yes, she is.
She's a bureaucrat. She's a hack.
She's okay, maybe now, but in the state house, she was against same-sex marriage. She was like a pretty hardcore conservative.
Yeah, call like Obama and Clinton against same-sex marriage. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. But I'm sure Biden at some point, there'll be video of him. The problem that you have with Biden is 40 years of a track record. 40 years of video.
A nice track record.
I promise you there'll be video of him saying that marriage is between a man and a woman. It'll be used against him.
And there's video of Trump saying that
all kinds of racist things.
Racist things. I mean, please, when was the last time that Joe Biden?
Poor kids are just as smart as white kids. Remember that?
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to defend a lot about Joe Biden. You know my feelings on him. But I mean, okay, let's look at the big racist comments, if you will, of the last week. Joe Biden saying, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Okay. Or Trump saying that Henry Ford has, you know, those real good bloodlines, the Ford family. I mean, how come that wasn't covered wall to wall? That is him.
Because no one would understand it. Ford was an innovator. And
Ford was a Nazi, basically. I read Plot Against America. Musk.
I would say saying, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black is a little easier to understand. And by the way,
why?
It was like nobody other than Jemele Hill. I didn't see anyone defending it. Even Charlemagne the God didn't defend it. Even James Clyburn didn't defend it.
No, it was stupid. Obviously,
it's you know, the charge for years is that the Democrats take African Americans for granted. Well, there's your proof.
Biden would be an infinitely better administration for people of color, poor people, because for poor people, his policies would be much better. People of color, due to systemic racism, what'd you say?
Because it'll keep them in poverty. We know Trump, until the pandemic, we had the lowest African American unemployment, the lowest Hispanic unemployment.
What does that mean? If you still can't pay the bills at the end of the day,
unemployed, Alex, that's a good thing. Under Obama,
it's a good
$10 million to the welfare rolls, to food stamps. That's what Obama did.
All right, Jerry, but if I'm working as a Grubhub driver and I can't even make enough money to live, like, what is that?
You and I argued about this a few weeks back and how you thought it was good that people were getting this big bump in unemployment. $600 extra.
It should continue much longer than July.
Alex, in a vacuum, let's analyze this. Trust me. I know people who are looking for jobs, who are looking, college kids who are applying at Walmart and Target and Amazon, the only places that are hiring. They can't find people. Because people are sitting back, getting this big unemployment check and just saying, I'll wait till late July for the next. Think of that. Just, you took economics at BU, right?
I didn't.
Yes, you did. You cheated off AOC. I remember. That's why you know so much.
Yes.
AOC got a degree in economics, which is amazing.
Smart.
It makes no sense. It's insane to give people an extra $600 to do nothing. When these big companies need workers, it's crazy.
I mean, Jerry, come on. Jerry.
How can you not understand that, Alex?
If I work, let's say, in a restaurant or any of the many businesses that were forced to shutter by our government, I should get money that I should be able to get something that I can live off of while the government is forcing me out of work. So, of course.
But now they want you back. And now the restaurants, I talked to a guy who owns a bunch of restaurants and he says, I can't get my people back. And I don't blame them. I don't blame if you're a waitress or waiter or a cook and you're saying, I get an extra $600. I'll wait. Call me in July. I'll take my chances.
Exactly. Because the government,
the economy happens.
But Jerry, but why are the waiters and waitresses not going back to restaurants? Because they wouldn't make enough money to live because the restaurants can only seat 25% of people.
Which is another idiotic thing.
Well, but I'm just saying, so if you're a waiter, like if all these restaurants opened at full capacity, people would want to go back to work, Jerry. People don't just want to sit and collect unemployment. They don't, but they want to do it if going back to work means they wouldn't be able to live.
It's summer starting. They're making more to not work. Why wouldn't you? You can't give someone that kind of disincentive. It makes no sense.
But if you're a waiter, Jerry, if Jerry, 800 a week is good, but you know, it's 50 some odd thousand a year. If you're a waiter at, let's say, a good restaurant, you make that, you make more than that. What'd you say?
No, you don't. And by the way, what you do is try to get a job under the table. If you're really a hard worker, you go to a landscaper or a painter, say, I'll work under the table for 2 months, and then maybe I'll go back to my job at Target or whatever.
Well, and the other issue is too, Jerry, let's say I'm off to someone. Let's say I'm also somebody who has a compromised immune system. I maybe live with elderly people. I maybe am the caretaker for my parents. I don't want to contract COVID-19 and pass it along to them. So those are issues too.
Oh God, we're done with that. Your parents and grandparents are quarantined. Okay.
But what if you live with your parents?
I mean, you don't.
A lot of people do though.
How old are your parents?
My parents are 61 and 59, I think.
Okay, they're good. You can hang out with your parents. You can go back to your little bedroom, which is just the way you left it when you got the JD Drew poster on the wall, right? You got.
I love JD Drew. I actually have an Albert Bell poster.
An Albert Bell poster, man, that's an unusual one.
Did you ever do a profile on him in your SI days?
Did I profile him? No, but I wrote about him plenty. He was a mean, nasty bastard, man. He was one of the worst people. He was just an awful guy. Oh, he was the worst. He was one of your idols?
I loved him. Great hitter.
He was a great hitter. He should have been a Hall of Famer. He was a 50-50 guy 1 year, 50 doubles, 50 homers in the same year. That's pretty impressive, but he was nasty. And then he's the one that crawled over the ceiling to steal the bats that were corked, right?
Oh, right. That's right. Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, he was a cheater. Obviously, he's probably on roids. I don't think he had a lot of moral, hesitation when it came to cheating. So I don't think it was all legit. But enough about Albert Bell.
Good Albert Bell talk.
I want to get to the, which I haven't seen, but I want to ask you about it anyway, because I'm excited about it. The Jeffrey Epstein documentary. And by the way, we get... Dave Cullinane's going to give us the latest on Caller Daddy. He's our Caller Daddy. It's got a new name, but you can tease that. Cullinane gets nervous when I put him on the spot, but he's going to give us an update.
I'm over the Caller Daddy thing. It's just, it's boring.
Nothing. No one likes dumb, podcast drama more than Cullinane. He loves it. And he's going to fill us in on the latest with Caller Daddy. And just, can you do me a favor and leave out the salaries? Because it just kills me when I find out how much
it kind of ruins the whole story, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
The whole gimmick.
But first, let me tell you about Shea Concrete. This is for you homeowners and home builders. Did you know that my brother-in-law, Greg, has a huge selection of precast concrete steps? Well, you probably did because I've told you about it before. And I'll tell you again, whether you're building a new home or you need to replace an old staircase and improve an old home, Shea has great values with designs for any kind of home. Available in concrete or customized in beautiful stone, granite, or brick. You take your pick. They're all beautiful. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home. In most cases, Shea can remove your old stairs and have you walking up your new front steps within hours. I told you about this. If you're looking for that spring project, there's plenty of time these days. These guys are open. They're ready to listen to your questions, answer your questions, and come on out and put a new set of front steps on your home for those pictures, those graduation pictures, those prom pictures. This is easy, too. They don't come in and disrupt your life. I hate that when people come in and you can't do anything. I had a refrigerator repairman at my house yesterday for like hours. Couldn't even, go grab myself a snack. It was awful. And he was started asking me questions like, what do you do for a living? Where are you from? Nice guy, but I didn't need that. These guys don't do that. They stay outside and they put the front steps on your home and you're going to love them. Learn more but Shea's precast concrete steps at SheaConcrete.com. That's SheaConcrete.com.
Hold on. So Reamer is the only one who's still writing, but listen to this, Reamer. If the tribe's bus were a high school classroom, Hershiser would be sitting up front answering all the teachers' questions, his pen tucked neatly into his pocket protector. Albert Bell would be flicking paper clips at the back of Hershiser's head. That is Jerry Callahan, Sports Illustrated, let's see, 96? Were you there, 96? Is that 96?
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't speak so soon, but I'm never embarrassed when I hear people read those, or I read those. I think
what's
pretty
wrong
good.
With that? Yeah,
that's good.
That's pretty good. Prose right there. You know, I probably had a month to do it, so it's no excuse for not doing it right. But generally, when I hear those old stories, I say, that's pretty good. And that's pretty good. Albert Bell was a dink, and he was kind of a bully, and he hated the media. Hershiser was a great guy. I mean, that's not bad. When was that, 96? What's the headline?
Let's see. Mind over muscle. Jerry Callahan.
What was it about, though? Who was it about? Was it about Hershiser?
Yeah, it's about the Cleveland Indians clubhouse, basically.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, the wacky Indians. Jerry, good job.
Yep. Indians are hip, mean, and macho, baby.
I know. Albert Bell should have won like 5 MVPs and should have been a Hall of Famer. He was that good a hitter. You know, he was like Manny-esque. He was, you know, one of the best.
Who's a better guy? That's the question.
That's a good Manny was a better guy, but you know, they ended up beating up his wife. He's a terrible guy. Terrible guy.
Albert Bell had some domestic assault issues, did he not?
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I don't even remember, but I'm sure he did. Manny was a better guy to deal with, but they're both rotten human beings that, you know, bullies. And
when is Jerry Callahan making his return to the newspaper industry or the digital industry, I guess, at this point?
I'm afraid the newspaper industry is not there for me to return to. I know. That was
the issue. But you could start a blog, maybe.
Every day, yesterday there was 75 people laid off by CBS News. Every day, Atlantic Magazine laid off like 20-25% of his staff, and Trump tweeted, Trump took a victory lap, which upset a lot of media people. But
it should upset anybody.
What's wrong with that? If Atlantic has been attacking him for, you know, since he's been in office, and they have been, and they're a very left-wing outfit, why wouldn't he be glad if their business is struggling? He should be. That's natural.
So the president of the United States should be happy that Americans are out of work.
He should be happy.
Okay, that, you can't defend that.
Attacking him is failing. Yes, their formula is not working. He should be thrilled with that. Yes. If someone was attacking you, you know, daily, and they were making money off it, and it turned out that that wasn't working, that their business model failed, wouldn't you be happy?
I'd be a little insulted that I wasn't enough to carry them through, to be honest with you. I mean,
of course you would. I mean, sometimes he gloats that their businesses were saved, like the online version of the Washington Post and the New York Times were saved by Trump. You know,
I don't know if they were saved by Trump, but he certainly boosted them, and they help him. I mean, the New York Times helped Trump more than any other media outlet besides NBC during the campaign, arguably.
About him. By the way, I think it's stupid that he tweets about Joe Scarborough and that theory of the conspiracy theory or whatever, but the intern dying, and you think it's stupid. And, you know, Turtle Boy and Shattuck, we all agree when he tweets these dumb tweets about Scarborough's intern. It's unnecessary. It's beneath the office, all those things. But I understand why he does it, because Scarborough.
Come on.
Well, let me finish. Can I finish? I don't think he should, but I know what's motivating him. I know what's motivating him. He's thinking, this asshole, Joe Scarborough, has been lying about me for 3 years, lying about Russian conspiracies and Ukrainian conspiracies and lying, trying to get him impeached. And it's, you know, it built up, and now he's saying, how do you like it? I'm going to throw this, you know, theory back at you that you did something evil. To me, you should have a surrogate do it. Someone else should do it. Maybe one of his sons could do it, but he shouldn't do it. But that's his feeling. You lied about me for 3 years. I'm going to throw this back at you. And everything's personal with him.
I don't give a shit personally about Joe Scarborough. The issue is this woman's family and her widower are begging the president, you read the letter, to stop, and he won't. And they are the ones who have to relive her death. And now they have conspiracy theorists around them, like the Sandy Hook parents do. That's the issue. I don't give a crap about Joe Scarborough, but Trump should stop tweeting because this poor woman's family, I mean, do they need to go through it again? That's the problem, Jerry.
I agree. I said that he shouldn't do it, but that's his mindset is.
So he
how do you like Scarborough?
So, but again, it's not. So he doesn't think that it affects the woman's family in any way. He only thinks about settling his own score with Joe Scarborough because he's a maniac.
Did Scarborough care how it affected Trump's family? Because it did. It affected all
of them. Oh, what?
Alex, they've been lying.
Jerry, are you kidding me?
Idiots like you fell for it. Here's what I want to know. Do you have any problem with the people you watch? I know you're a big MSNBC guy and CNN and the Globe, the New York Times, Washington Post. These people have lied to you for 3 years. You know it now. The truth is out. They would lie to you. There was nothing to it. We know these people, some of whom were analysts on CNN, clappers and Brennans, they lied to your face. Under oath, they said something totally different. To your face, they said there's evidence. Adam Schiff says every day, we got evidence of conspiracy, of collusion. It was a lie. Now, you still, today, do you have a problem with that? Do you?
And as a result, hold on. And as a result of Adam Schiff and the Russia investigation, this poor woman's family and widower must suffer again.
No, I'm just telling you what he's thinking. They lied about me and my family. I'm going to lie about you, Scott.
But I don't know if you noticed, the Trump family, nobody's died that we know of. They're all in the White House. He's the president. They're the most privileged family in the country. I'm sorry. It doesn't compare. Nothing bad ever happened to Donald Trump or the Trump family.
I assume you saw Scarborough joking with Imus, laughing about the intern dying in his office, right?
So what?
So Scarborough can laugh about it? This was an actual intern of his.
An interview years and years ago with Don Imus, Jerry, a glib radio segment. You know how that goes sometimes. Now, I'm not going to hold that over Joe Scarborough. No. A glib remark he made on a radio show with Don Imus years ago. No. Sorry.
I'm not arguing with you about this because I think these tweets are dumb also. I do. But I'm not a big fan of the tweets. But I'm just explaining to you his mindset. That's why he did it. Anyway.
But why can't he think of the widow's family?
Okay, maybe he will now. Maybe the widower.
Yeah. Why does he think of him?
He should. He should. All right. Can you justify, by the way, in L.A. why they're burning flags?
Because this country has been – flags as – Jerry, do we have to go through this again? The flag is a symbol of oppression.
A symbol of oppression, the American flag.
Oppression, yes.
Right. Okay. Why? I don't understand. This is the greatest country ever. You know it. We know it.
To people of color, that's why Kaepernick knelt, and that's why they're burning the flag in L.A.
You never said that, but whatever. You can defend him. We'll see. We'll see if Kaepernick will probably hide behind his girlfriend and maybe release a tweet or something, but he will never dare go before the cameras because he can't do it. He's not smart enough. He's not well-read enough. He just wants to hide out and let people like you do his bidding. But
I'm happy to do it.
Let's raise the bar and get Cullinane in here so he can inform us, explain to us the latest on the caller daddy drama.
Back to number one. I mean, we're putting pressure on them, but caller daddy is both on the podcast as a show and in that episode back at number one currently.
But I didn't even know this. I saw the rankings like on the Apple iTunes and I saw Funeral and I said, what is that? Something new? Does it have a new name? They called it, this episode was called The Funeral. So they put it was bringing an end to the franchise, Caller Daddy.
No. This was just to that co-host who, by the way, I'm on her team. I'm on the person. Sophia is her name. She has gotten beaten enough. All right. Now just come back, crawl and beg for your job and let's move on. Just bring the show back.
So they didn't close the book. She can't come back.
She'll come back. That's just a guess by me. She'll come back eventually. But the girl did it alone this week. I think it dropped yesterday. She did it alone. Just said the same thing that's been going on the entire time. Nothing new. She's kind of escaping criticism because she crawled back. I think she deserves more of it, but whatever. It was what it was. I'm assuming that eventually they'll hire a co-host because she can't do it alone. You can't sit there talking about that.
How hard is it? They know how much money they make now. I mean, when things started, they didn't make any money. Now they're making a fortune. Why not just get some, you know, hot chicks, get some Kardashian to do it with her, you know, get some Hadid to do it with her. See, I'm sorry,
Alex, some names.
Alex doesn't like this talk of two hot chicks talking about sex. I don't know why, but he doesn't like their
I've listened to a few call her daddies. I mean, I've been doing that kind of talk on sports talk radio for years. So I don't see why.
From all angles, you're an innovator.
I'm on hot guys.
Yeah, I have. I mean, you guys went on, Kirk did, went on Grindr during a show once. I think you were out that day. But
yeah, I think I was out then.
You're out that day, yeah. So I mean, I've been doing that for, you know, years. I'm not impressed with call her daddy. But no, I think it just speaks to, you know, the new wave of media and how, you know, really the question is, though, you know, I think the Barstool brand for them is bigger than the podcast itself. I mean, so I think the one who stayed made absolutely the right call. I mean, $500,000 an episode. Come on.
I know when you hear the money and the incentives and the bonuses. And by the way, the amount of work, it's once a week and they were making a fortune. I think
that's debatable. I think that's debatable. And I know Jerry likes to talk wrestling, but it's kind of like Barstool's like Vince McMahon. It kind of gives people the push and says, hey, you know, this is somebody we like. You should take a listen. And it helps propel them to start. And then it takes a life of its own. I can't imagine that Call Her Daddy's audience is also consuming Barstool Rundown or Marty Mush. I think Call Her Daddy.
Or the golf show.
Correct. They gave him the push. That's great. They helped him along. Credibility, great company, all that good stuff. Great social media, everything. But I think that their skill set propelled them to just launched it to the moon and brought in a new audience that hopefully will buy products and listen to other products from Barstool. So I do think that they have a lot more value than being let on to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's a Barstool product.
Sure. Yeah. No, I definitely agree there. But it doesn't work without the two of them. So the one who is doing it separately now, like how successful will her podcast be?
Well, that's what we don't know. So she's doing it herself. She's already got the subscribers. So I'm sure it'll be successful. It's just it's one of those shows. I mean, can you sit there talking about, you know, how you like guys to go down on you?
I
just
can
by yourself, but just by yourself for an hour.
I think you need a co-host.
Yes, no, they'll find it. They'll find their co-host. I think they're not doing enough shit, but that's business, right? They do. They bring so much money to the table that sometimes you just have to put your head down and let them come back because they tried to cover Barstool 10 times.
The greatest publicity ever in the last couple of weeks. It is amazing how Portnoy has just thrived in this anti-business pandemic environment. Everyone else is drowning and he's just thriving.
I don't know about that. I mean, the Barstool editor-in-chief sent out an email a couple weeks ago, got reported saying that they were, quote, hemorrhaging money.
Yeah.
I think as a company, they're struggling like every media company because there's no advertising right now.
True. I mean,
I think from a content standpoint, they're capitalizing because they're creating new content. They're out there as much as they've ever been. You know, what else is there to do when you're trapped inside your house? So it looks that way, but I think advertising dollars, they must have taken.
We've seen the numbers. Sports talk radio in general is getting crushed because nobody's in their cars. Nobody's buying ads. There is no baseball. And we know that the baseball owners and the baseball players are not close to an agreement. And, you know, they have two problems. If you have like a contract to broadcast baseball or you're just somehow invested in baseball.
Yeah.
One problem is they're far apart, the players and owners.
Right.
They're not close to a deal. The other part is no one cares. It's not like if the owners and players in football were far apart, it would be topic A on all our shows and people would be talking and writing about it daily and hoping they could reach a deal. Most people don't care if they reach a deal. It's like, we got other things to do. It's going to be going up against everything. We think NHL, maybe NBA, lots of good golf. I mean, there's going to be lots of stuff going on. It's going to be summertime. If baseball said, we'll see you again next year, we're going to take 2020 off, how many people would be upset that you know? I mean, in your life, how many people do you know would be really upset or really disappointed if baseball announced today they're taking a year off?
Nobody would even know it was happening, really. I mean,
Zero? Because I would say zero. I don't have any friends that really care.
Friends? No. I mean, my friends are all 20 gay something, so they wouldn't care if the NFL didn't come back either, really.
I think Jared Karabas.
What about the flag league, your flag football league?
We're very angry. I'm angry about that. I miss my flag football. Would have been the championship a couple weeks ago.
I don't know. It's never looked so stark for baseball.
Yeah, but here's the thing I will say, though, real quick. Like, 5.8 million people on average watched that golf match, which was poor. How could you watch? How much of that did you watch?
You're talking the wrong people. Cullinan and I loved it.
Oh, did you watch it for all 5 hours?
No.
Yes, I did.
It wasn't
the most incredible piece of content that I've ever consumed, but it was good. It was better.
It was good because you're starved for new things to watch. It was boring.
Because Tom Brady melted down and the country had never seen that before. And I think the country enjoyed it. Most of the country loved it.
I know, but the thing with Brady is he has no personality. Like, he's a nice guy, he seems like, but he can't match wits with Barkley. He needs to watch it. The more exposure he gets, like, Peyton Manning is way better at that stuff than Brady is.
Yeah.
He's better.
But did you like when he makes one good shot, and obviously we're all waiting to hear his reaction. He gloated a little bit. He mocked Barkley. And then he starts talking about how much he loves his wife and kids and parents. And it's like, what kind of human being? You're out in the golf course. You're talking shit with other players. The whole country's listening to you. You just sunk a shot from the fairway and you're talking about how much you love your wife. That was a little strange.
Because he's not.
I don't think he has no personality. He just got a kind of a weird personality. And the other people are better at that. You're right. Barkley's there. Phil Mickelson's better at it. Manning's better. Tiger shut his mic off. He didn't say anything. If he did, he didn't want us to know. So I don't think Tiger's ideal for this situation either. He doesn't want people to catch him saying anything that's going to get him in any kind of trouble. He's like the anti-Barkley. He thinks about everything before he says it. But the next one they do will be better, even though, you know, we got to see Brady in this, but we didn't know how bad Brady would be. But I think if you get Jordan out there, and I don't know, Michael Jordan has to be involved in the next one, but I don't know.
I disagree with you, Alex. I think I'm not saying that's the best thing in the world, and I know people are starving for content. I think it does damn near the same exact numbers outside of this whole pandemic and everything like that. That I think those names, it was interesting enough. The idea of bringing in like Barkley and interviews and stuff like that, I think it gets big numbers regardless.
And the betting mostly was for charity, but it was still pretty cool. People say, I'll give you 50 grand if you hit the green, you know, 100 grand if you par this hole. That if you have Jordan there, I got news for you. You're going to have real betting. He's not going to hold back. He's going to bet on every shot, and people will like that. People like betting. But I think when people talk about the return of sports, there's football and then there's everything else. All people want football on time, 16 games. They want their guys back. I don't know how big the crowds are going to be, but they want that. They're going to get that, by the way. They're going to get both college and pro back.
Mm.
But then there's everything else. It's like people are looking, going, so baseball can't come to an agreement? Ah, so what? I got other things to do. You know, so what? Who cares? Who's going to sit down right now? After being stuck inside for 4 months, you're going to sit and watch a 3-hour baseball game? I don't think so.
Well, the other thing, too, is the NHL and NBA almost finished their seasons. I mean, I know there was no playoffs, obviously, but they, you know, they'll be back in September, you know, October. The NBA season starts, and I'm sure they'll start on time. And that's the thing, too, that's inevitable. Like, we used to think a couple weeks ago, and I used to think even, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, oh, there's no way if there's no vaccine, you can play sports because if a player tests positive, you quarantine the whole team. Now, I don't even think they would stop the game, to be honest with you. Now that we know how low risk it is to young people, young, healthy people, you know, I think football is going to start on time. The only question is, as Stephen Ross said, fans or no fans.
There'll be a compromise. There'll be a stadium that holds 70,000 and left 20,000. And they'll say, keep your distance, stay with your family member, whatever. There'll be every other seat will be empty, something like that. It won't solve any problem, but it'll look different. It'll be about optics. But you're right. I think what'll happen, Alex, is guys with the virus will just be on the injured list. It'll be like, oh, he's missing next game. He's got, you know, coronavirus. He's sitting at home for 2 weeks. If the problems, and I heard one analyst say this, I forget who it was, said the problem comes when the offensive line gets it, like three or four guys give it to each other, and they both have to take 2 weeks off, and then your franchise QB is playing behind the offensive line and might get killed. Or what if it goes through the quarterback room and all three of your quarterback get it, and they have to sit out for 2 weeks? You know what will happen then? The game will become more interesting. Can you imagine that? Watching a important game and the back who just came in from the XFL or some guy, you know, Josh Johnson, they just signed off the wire. And it, I mean, it's not ideal, but it's still compelling. Everything football does is in some way dramatic and interesting. And that's that will continue with the virus.
But well, I think anyway, this.
Yeah. I get the football's like just wanting to get out there, wanting to involve the fans, and they have a, you know, a few more months to work with. But what's the sell for the NHL and the NBA? Like, if I were them, I would just want to almost hold out until starting a new season, just to make sure I can get as many fans in the building to make as much money. Is it just the network putting pressure on them? Like,
I think Alex makes a good point. They could say we played a season, and you know the first, in the NHL's case, the Bruins, they get the first seed. Let's have a tournament. Tournaments are good. People like tournaments. It's playoffs.
But I guess for what? Like, how much money is it? They're going to lose money on it, right?
No, but they would at least be able to recoup some TV money for the playoffs.
It'll be a good TV event. It would be something different, you know, kind of like the Brady Manning golf thing. It'd be different. You'd watch and say, wow, this is one and done or whatever. You know, this is.
But it's a business, right? I just mean, is the money worth it? Is that TV money worth it versus.
What's it hurt?
I don't know. If they were losing money because of after paying players for their time and all that stuff and the expenses going around with it, I just mean, why wouldn't you take the extra time to make sure then you can recoup your money when the new season starts? If you're the
Because NBA. Out of sight, out of mind. As we see with baseball, it's gone away. People don't care. You don't want to be gone that long. I mean, hell. LeBron James doesn't have that many years left. I mean, you don't want to waste one. Yeah. Get him out there and play a tournament, and you'll get good ratings. People like, you know, playoff competition. They like to see teams get eliminated, teams advance, and then you crown a champion after, what, 3 weeks or a month? I don't know how long it's going to be. I haven't seen the details on that. But all I know is they could cancel everything except football, and sports fans would be like, well, okay, we're cool. We're good. You know, yep. Both college and pro. I saw Ed Orgeron yesterday saying, we're ready to come back. You know, the guys are coming back. We're ready for the green light. We're ready to go. So,
I mean, colleges will be interesting. I mean, I read an article by Mitch Daniels, actually, who's the president of Purdue. And I mean, the statistics are crazy that at COVID-19, that's 99.9%. have occurred outside the 15 to 24 age group. Survival rate 20 to 29 is 99.99%. So the more you learn about it, obviously you have to be very careful. You have to protect the vulnerable student population you do have. Maybe you make it that if you're a student, you go to a big campus school like that, you don't go home to mom and dad for a few months. And I don't know many college students who would protest that, to be honest. But, I think you have to find a way to get schools back and college sports back in some fashion. Stupid.
They shouldn't have ever been dismissed. It is. I've been saying it for months now. It's statistically, if you're healthy and you're high school or college age, your chances of dying for the virus are statistically zero. It's 0.00001, something like that. It's a rounding error. You're not going to die. And as soon as people realize that, they'll see, why aren't college kids all staying with other college kids? Why aren't they back in school? If you're a 70-year-old professor and you weigh 400 pounds, you don't work. I can't keep saying this, but at least Alex is coming around. I'm pretty sure a month ago you didn't feel this way, and I'm glad you finally read up, son. I appreciate it. Alex Reamer from Forbes.com,
yes,
and from Outsports.com.
Outsports.
I'm glad you got a haircut. I'm glad you got outside without a mask. I'm impressed, Alex. But
next week, I'll wear the mask.
Excellent. We will talk to you next week, Reamer. Thanks to Alex Reamer. Thanks to Shake Concrete and Allied Paving and DCU and Flagship Wealth. Thanks to all our great sponsors. You can help us out by helping them. You can support us by supporting them. Good job, Cullinane. I'm Jerry Callahan.
Tell them to leave those reviews. When we tell them to do it, they actually do it, which is a good
thing. Leave those reviews. And you know what I'm going to look for? See for today if we get a good Alex Reamer review. Every month or so, we get a good Alex Reamer review.
He did a good job today.
He brought it. He presented. He represented, you know, all the emotional, irrational liberals out there. This is their guy. He spoke for them. He's rooting for the rioters. You know, he's rooting for chaos. So I understand that. I'm rooting for Law and Order. We had our disagreements. It was fun, but Reamer brought it today. Give him a good review. Go to Apple Podcasts. Go to rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends. We appreciate it, every one of you. Thank you so much. This is the Callahan Podcast, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Why am I stopping? No one else stops.
I don't. Can I go home?
The Jerry Callahan Podcast.